Good morning.
Good morning.
I was pretty weak. Y'all tired this morning?
Yes.
All right. If y'all don't say it a little louder this time, I'm going to make you stand up and stretch after this. So good morning. There it is. Listen, I want to start off with a scripture that means a lot to me. And I want to focus this lesson around this one verse. It's a simple verse. You've probably heard it before. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ." Growing up in Christ. So I'm about to tell you one of the most basic and fundamental things and lessons of faith. Are you ready? God wants you to grow up. It's profound, isn't it? So it's not hard to understand. This is not a difficult message to grasp. But sometimes I think it's very important for us to be reminded of some of the basic fundamentals of our faith. Some of the basic principles in what faith is all about. So that's what this lesson is for. It's kind of like in any sport. Did you ever play? How many of you played any sport growing up in school? Let me see the athletes in the house. All right. So no, it's okay. You didn't have to pick a lot of. I said, let me see the athletes, and hands went back down. That's like were those two different questions. I could play a sport and still not be athletic, right? Well, I remember whenever I was in high school, I played basketball. It was one of the worst mistakes of my life. Not really. I enjoyed the season, and I was just bad at the sport. But I remember my high school coach started telling us. Now, the fact that I was as bad as I was and still got playing time, that kind of tells you how our team was. So maybe this was unique to my experience. But, and by the way, we had a lot of fun, right? And so we were the people, we were proud of our participation trophies. You know, some of y'all, you're like, I don't like them participation trophies. What are we doing? You know, I'm like, hey, I still got my participation trophies in my closet, man. Maybe that's because I didn't get many of anything else. But anyway, moving on. But I remember we were really, really bad. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And sometimes the game would just get so bad, our coach would pull us over. And this happened multiple times. And he would tell us, do not do anything special with the ball. Let's go back to the basics. And so he would start to tell us, if you're dribble between your legs, you're going to be running laps next practice. If you do any behind-the-back dribbles or behind-the-back passes, you're running laps after practice, because he wanted us to grasp the basic fundamentals of the game before we tried to go into the advanced techniques of the game. And I think there was something wise there in where he's saying, if you're not successful in the basics, then we don't need to go on to steps 3 and 4 until you get step 1. And sometimes I think in our faith, it can be the same way. I know a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge of deep things in Scripture. A lot of people that they can talk with me on some high levels of theology. And yet, you look at their life and you go, but they're missing some basic principles. And so all of that knowledge doesn't do us any good if we can't live out some basic fundamentals. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what I've prepared this sermon to be. This is nothing profound. I'm not going to tell you something new. It's not my intention. But I believe there's some basic principles that are important for us to review. And one of the most basic things in our faith, in spirituality as a whole, is that God wants you and I to grow up. Okay? So understand, this is something I wanted to share at the beginning of this. Growth comes with pain. Okay? That's something the longer that you've lived, the more that you know it's true. All right. It's something we all agree with here in this room. Maybe there's some kids who haven't understood that yet, but growing comes with pain. And that's just a part of life. I want to tell you one of the most cherished memories that I have of my childhood. When I was growing up, I experienced growing pains. How many of you experienced growing pains going up? You remember going through growing pains and actually felt the pain of growing pains. Okay, some of you are there. A lot of people don't get that experience, but literally I did. What would happen is there was a season in my life when I was younger that when I would lay down at night, my legs would just start aching so bad. Both of my legs, and they would just hurt. I can't even describe the pain. You know it if you felt it. It's a weird pain, you know? But it just hurts. And it's just really uncomfortable. It's not like it's the worst pain I ever felt, but it was very uncomfortable. And I would toss and I would turn and I couldn't sleep. And the pain would grow and grow the longer I would lay there. And so what I would do is I would end up, it would hit a point where I call out to Dad, because that's what you do when you're hurting, right? Dad? And so my dad would come into the room. And one of the most special things that I had in this season of my life, and I'll never forget it, was my dad would kneel down beside the bed and he'd say, "It's okay, son." And he said, "Just try to go to sleep." And he would start to rub my leg, and he would just rub my legs back and forth over and over again. The same pressure, he put a lot of pressure on it, and he would just rub back and forth. And he would stay there for 15, 20, I mean, his arms, he said, and he told me later in life, he's like, "Man, oh yeah, my arms were toast," you know. But he would not stop. Because when he would, the pain would come back. And so he would do that. And 15, 20, 30 minutes until I fell back asleep, he would stay there and he would not leave until I went to sleep. And it was a whole season in my life that I went through this. And my dad was there every night and would do that for me. It's a precious memory that I have with him now. And it's something that we've talked about a lot. And we wondered, like, that's such a weird thing. Why did it work? By the way, something else that's kind of weird. I don't know if that's a genetic thing. I don't know any science behind this. But I've talked with all of my cousins, and all of the guys experienced the same thing. And my uncle, my dad's brother, did the same thing because, come to find out, my dad's dad, my grandpa, did the same thing for my dad. So it's carried on over the years. And it's not something we ever acknowledged or was ever talked about. In fact, I didn't know about this going on in my cousin's family with my uncle, and that he would do the same thing for his kids that my dad did for me. I didn't know that until my uncle's funeral. And it's such a cherished memory for me. And believe it or not, in his funeral, his son gets up and says, "One of the most cherished memories I have of Dad is when he would come into my room and he'd rub my legs at night when I was hurting." And I thought, Caleb, me too. And we had this awesome connection and started talking about it. And so Dad and I have talked about this a lot. And we thought about, why did that work? What was it about that? And we decided that we think that it's the friction of that constant rubbing back and forth that would generate heat, and the heat on my legs would help to ease the pain in the moment, right? And so it's just been a really interesting thing. But growing pains were a part of my reality growing up. And growing pains are a part of our reality in our Christian faith as we grow up as well. It's impossible for us to grow without the growing pains. Just ask Job, right? He lost everything. Just ask Peter, right? He, in order for him to do incredible things and to take his faith to the next level, he's got to walk in the middle on water in the middle of a storm. Just ask Jesus. When he's about ready to start his ministry, the first thing that God does after his baptism is to lead him where? To a wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. Why? Because as much as it may hurt in the moment, they needed to grow. And in order to grow, they had to experience the pain. But each of those experiences did bring about growth. And if you think about each of those examples, they reacted in the same way that I reacted when I was a young boy and experiencing my growing pains, right? They all called out to their father when it started to hurt too bad. And they would say, "Dad," and God would show up every single time. And the closeness that was generated by God stepping in when he was invited by them into their room and into their place of pain and into their moment, the closeness and the friction created by that relationship could bring pain and ease and comfort in their hearts, even in the most difficult of seasons of their life. And the same thing is true for you too. God desires to come in and to be a part of your pain, but at the same time, you're the one. He's waiting on you to call out and say, "Father, I need you. How's your prayer life? How are you growing? Is it hurting?" Because growth, listen, this is a weird statement. it should hurt. And that's a sign of growth. So that's the same basic model that God wants for you this morning. So we're going to look at three different areas that God wants us to grow up in. Okay? And the first one is this: grow up in your possessions. Okay? Grow up in your possessions. I told you it's nothing profound. Don't expect it. But it's life-changing and so important. Grow up in your possessions. Being a dad is one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in my life. I love the journey that I'm on right now and the phase of life that Avery and I are in to be able to have our kiddo and to watch him grow up every single day, to watching him learn to walk and to talk and just how he interacts is just so fun, isn't it? And, you know, it's pretty powerful because for the first time in my life, I'm able to understand in a little different way because of this new vantage point that I have as a parent, as a father who has a son. I'm starting to more understand and grasp how God could love his children the way that he does, based on a little way of how, in my heart, I love Jude, right? But while it's an incredible gift to be a parent, can I have a moment with you? It's hard. You know, because of how much growing and how much learning and how much change there is in this child. It's just, it's crazy. And some days you think, oh, we're in a pattern, man. We got the flow. Like, I'll look over at Ava and be like, psh, we're the best parents on the planet, you know? And then the next day, something changes and all of a sudden you feel like the worst. And it's just, it's an incredible journey, and I love it, but it's tough because I want him to grow. It would be easy if I wasn't concerned with who he would become. But because Avery and I have an image that says we want him to become a strong man of God, it makes parenting challenging. And so for each point of this lesson, I wrote with Jude on my heart. And I have an example of parenting Jude for each point. So bear with me. For the point here, growing in our possessions, I wanted to tell you about Jude's new favorite word, okay? His word is mine. And he knows that word. And if you hang around with him long, you'll learn that he knows that word too. He's learned to say it all the time. In fact, it's gotten to the point where we were in the backyard this week and we throw a ball back and forth. I got him a Avengers little, not a bouncy ball, but one of those balls, you know, that's in the bin at Walmart. Yeah. And so I got him one of those and he loves this thing. And so we'll go out in the backyard and we start trying to throw. He has not learned to catch yet, but he can throw. And so we'll throw back and forth. He loves to roll it back and forth. And we do that all the time. But now he's in this mind stage. Mine. And so he'll roll the ball to me or throw it to me. And as soon as I catch it, I can't throw it back because he's already charging towards me going, mine. I'm like, I know it's yours. Stay right there. I'll throw it back. But he hasn't gotten that concept yet. He's so worried that I'm going to take his toy. But he wants to play with me. So he throws it to me again and gets mad at me that I catch the ball he threw at me. It's just an interesting situation. Well, this morning, it all kind of reached a new level. I already had the sermon prepared and everything, and then all of a sudden he does something this morning that changes everything, right? Because I leaned down to give him a goodbye kiss because I was coming up to the church early. Avery was going to take him separate. And so I leaned down. He's eating his breakfast, and I leaned down to give him a kiss, and I'm telling him bye. And all of a sudden, I guess my face got too close to his waffles. And so he picks up his plate, and it very aggressively holds the plate as far away from me as he can. And he turns, and he looks at me with a snarl, and he goes, mine. I didn't get a goodbye kiss this morning. You know, as cute as it may be now, I really want him to learn to grow up concerning his possessions, right? Like, I want him to learn the lessons that it's not all about him. To learn how to share, to learn how to give. You know, I didn't ask you guys if I could share this, but Joy Foshi is one of the most generous people in our church, by the way. Isn't it amazing when you see the generosity? I mean, it's one thing when adults are generous, but it's another thing when you see the innocence of a child who just loves to give. And one of the things that I love is going over to the Foshi's house and watching Joy interact with my son, Jude. And they play together so well, and Joy takes care of him and keeps him out of trouble, which is really important, right? But what's incredible is she loves to give. And you can see the genuine heart that just says, I want you to have this. And it's so bad that if her parents wouldn't stop her, which, by the way, they're great parents, so they want her to give too, don't get me wrong, she would have no toys in the house, and none of her brothers would have any toys left either, because when she gets rid of her stuff, she's ready to give somebody else's stuff. So they're learning to help her grow too through some of that. But it's a beautiful process to watch. And I really want my son to have that same kind of generosity in his life too. But the thing is, here's a newsflash for us. I told you it's not deep. God wants the same thing for us. Listen to this. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Jesus says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And that's an important scripture, because that's what I call a value scripture. Okay, that's one of those meaning of life scriptures. It's one of the basic, that's what we talked about, right? Getting back to the basics. This is one of those basic fundamentals of Christianity scriptures. And whenever he uses the words life and consist, you know, I better listen up. This is one of those major things I need to get. And he says, by the way, he doesn't give you the definition of what the value of life is. This one's interesting, because he tells you, here's what the value of life is not in. Here's what it doesn't consist of. And the reason he has to go to the negative, anytime that God usually goes to the negative, it's typically because there is a lie that is so widely believed by people that he's got to diffuse the lie. And here he says, your life does not consist of the abundance of your stuff, of your possessions. Why does he need to tell us this? Because so often that's how we live, right? I mean, it's easy to say this. This is a principle we all knew. I haven't told you anything new. And yet God has to write about it so often because we struggle with it so much, because it's much easier to live for yourself, right? And so sometimes we live in a way that seems like it's all about our money, all about our jobs, all about our houses, all about our cars, our boats, our trailers, our stuff, than it is about our relationships. And sometimes we do. We become so consumed with that stuff that our relationships and our families start to suffer. And it's happening all over the world. But God says life is not about what you have. He says life is about who you have. And so the question for us is, are you consumed with riches, or are you consumed with relationships? Because it cannot be both. Now, it does not mean having stuff or having money is wrong. Notice. But your life does not find value based on your stuff. And being consumed by your stuff, all your time and energy going to getting more stuff, that's the problem. And by the way, don't play the justification game here. Because, and men in the house, we're really good at this, but some women are too. This is a human problem. It tends to typically be more of a male problem, but that's not always the case. Because here's the deal. Sometimes we justify our desire to get more, our desire to have abundance, because we start to say this kind of stuff. I have to work so much, and I have to work so hard, because if I didn't, then my family couldn't survive. If your family is suffering because of your job, get a new job. If your marriage is suffering because you're too busy at work, get a new job. A lot of people do it the other way. If your marriage is suffering because I'm too busy at work, get a new marriage. I promise that's not going to fix it. Don't let your relationship suffer because you're too focused on riches. Listen, here's a statement you need to get. No matter who you are or how close to your family you are, listen, your family needs more of you right now. Even if you're great parents, even if you have a great relationship, there's never a time where your family doesn't need more of your presence. And so find ways to be with your family. Grow up in your possessions. Don't get so focused on stuff. That's what I want my son to know too. Number two, grow up not only in your possessions, but grow up in your pleasures. This is a basic concept in Scripture as well. I'm not sure where this came from, but Jude absolutely loves to drive. It's his new thing. I don't know where it came from. Every day when I go and pick him up at daycare, though, they have one of those, what are they, little tyke cars? Is that the thing? Like the red bottom with the yellow top, the big plastic cars that's like the Flintstones because the feet are cut out and you can, you know, walk with it. You know what I'm talking about? He loves that thing. And so every day when I get at daycare, he's always in the car. And it's not been like a couple of times. I'm talking about months in a row. The kid loves the car, okay? And the teachers, they feed into it. They'll let him sit in the car, and then they'll push him around in a big circle out there, you know, and I love it. And so I'll pick him up from school, and he talks to me about driving. His favorite song is Wheels on the Bus. And so, yeah, it's a whole thing. But one day, everything changed. Because I love it, and I love to support him in this thing. And then I decided I was going to let him sit in the driver's seat of my truck. And I've never made a greater mistake. No, not really, because he does. He loves it, right? But the problem is that it's never often enough and never long enough. And we can sit in that truck with no AC on for 30 minutes, and I'll say, son, we have got to go inside or we're going to die out here in this thing. And he's having none of it, right? Because it's never enough, because he always wants more, right? And he wants what he wants, and he likes what he likes. And if he doesn't get what he wants, a lot of times he's upset. And I'm telling you, that's the worst of arguments that we have right now, is the moment where we have to say, Jude, you're all done driving. Let's go. It's so bad now, though, by the way. This is not related to the sermon, but it's so bad right now that when we put him in his car seat, like he's trying to get out of his car seat to crawl into the front, and he's just going, drive, 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 and he's like falling out of the seat. It's like, no, you've got to stay buckled. You know, I turn into a bad dad in that moment. But anyway, but sometimes, believe it or not, by the way, God wants the same thing for us. Right? I want him to learn to grow up and understand sometimes you get what you want, and that's great, but sometimes you don't get what you want, and that's great too. It's all okay. It's all important. And God wants the same thing for us, yet sometimes we can be just as selfish as my son can, as a toddler. You know, we want what we want, and if we don't get it, we upset everyone around us. I mean, if you think about it, how do you react when you don't get what you wanted? When's the last time you didn't get what you wanted? It might have been this morning, right? How did you react? It's a basic principle in your faith, but it's so important to react nicely, humbly, and say, it's okay that I didn't get what I wanted. You know, because you can get in arguments with people over where to go eat. You know, you can't tell me you never had that marriage fight before. Ours is not because we both want a place. We get frustrated because we can't decide, but that's a whole other thing. We're like, I just want to go somewhere. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? And then I finally say, all right, let's go to Chili's. And she's like, nah. I'm telling you, my marriage is suffering in that moment. Sorry, Avery. I'll hear about that one at home. I'm going to get into another. I just got into another fight right there. You know, but sometimes, seriously, though, when we don't live into this basic principle of Scripture, if you don't get this first one, if you don't learn how to be humble, I mean, what ends up happening is all the relationships around you are miserable. Nobody wants to be around you when you can't take no well. How do you take no? You see, God does not want us to make others miserable. In fact, there's this beautiful section in Scripture. You've heard it before. It's one of the most popular places in the Bible. And listen to this. It's beautiful. I mean, you could amen it every time. It's one of those scriptures. Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others." It's a basic principle here, but it's so powerful, and we cannot miss this. And then he gives us this wonderful example. He says, your attitude, when you get what you want, but especially when you don't get what you want, your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature with God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of man, Jesus humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus was the perfect picture of selfless. He was that perfect picture to say, it's not about me. And when he didn't get what he wanted, and by the way, Jesus did not get what he wanted a lot of times in Scripture. Go read through the Gospels. Jesus was not who he was and wasn't this happy-go-lucky guy because everything he wanted is what he got. Actually, I would say it's the opposite. Most of the time when Jesus wanted something, God would say, you're going to do something different. You think he wanted to go into the wilderness and be tempted for 40 days? You think he wanted to go into the garden and sweat out blood? You think he wanted to go to the cross? You think he wanted the Pharisees to attack him? You think he wanted people to mistreat him and lie about him? And yet Jesus was so selfless, even in the face of all the things he didn't want. When's the last time you sacrificed? Let's move on. When's the last time you sacrificed? Here's a big one, though, without complaining. Because it's one thing. Some of you are like, well, I sacrificed this morning. Yeah, but then you were just so upset about it. Yeah, I was so hungry. I really wanted that, but whatever. No, that's not what we're talking about here. Sacrifice without complaining. One of the greatest pleasures in your life doesn't come from getting what you want. One of the greatest pleasures in your life is seeing the joy, authentic joy, and genuine happiness when you surprise someone with real sacrifice and selflessness and seeing their face light up. It's a beautiful thing. Lastly is this, number three, and this is what I want for Jude as well, but God wants for us, is to grow up in our position. Both sets of Jude's grandparents live away. My parents live in Corpus Christi, and Avery's parents live in Louisiana. And so in order for us to have Jude keep those relationships alive and healthy, I don't want him to not know his grandparents, right? And so we have to do a lot of FaceTime. In fact, we were doing FaceTime calls with both sets of grandparents just last night. Now, naturally, when we do these FaceTime calls, Jude is absolutely the center of attention. Right? Like, that's why we call, you know? And so at some level we get it, but so as Jude's playing and he's had his time and it's been 15 minutes of just all Jude, Avery wants to ask, how are moms doing? Hey mom, how are you doing? Jude doesn't want her to ask that question because now the focus has shifted. I'm telling you, he's grown up so fast. It's crazy how we're already here, but he does not want that to happen. He wants to show the next new toy and then the other, his favorite way of distracting is asking where the other grandparent is. It's really clever. He's good. Because he'll go, you know, if my parents are Honey and Papaw, right? So we have Nana, Papa, Honey, Papaw. And so when Honey's on the screen and all of a sudden the focus shifts off of Jude for just a moment, he'll come in and instead of going, you know, mine, he'll come back in and go, where's Papaw? Papaw? And how are they going to say no to that? So then they have to put the camera over on Papaw, and Papaw goes, hey, Jude. And he goes, you know, and it's just so cute that we'll do it over and over again. He's smart. He knows what he's doing, right? But at the same time, as cute as it is now, I don't want Jude to grow up thinking that the world just revolves around him. I don't want him to always think that he's the center of attention. I want him to learn the humility of sometimes being last, and that's okay. I want him to learn that sometimes you're first, and sometimes you're last, and sometimes you're in the middle, and all of that's okay. To learn the power of position. We talk about it in Scripture. When you take this to a deeper level in theology, you learn there's a lot of power in your posture and a lot of power in your position. And when you hit the ground, right, like that's why God tells Moses to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground. That's why they kneel in prayer. That's why they'll lay out face first in prayer. And I've done a lot of study on this. And yet the reality is we even do this for our kids. The basic principle of position. It's not all about me. So here's the question for you. Here's how this applies. Who or what has your attention? Who or what has your focus? And even here's how it works for us as adults, even when we may be doing something with those that we love, is our mind and heart actually there? You know, I've said this phrase before, you're not really here. even when you're here. Right? Some of you right now, that might be your thing. You're here, but you're not really here. Your mind and your heart somewhere else. But God, when he says, no, I want you to grow up in your position, he's saying, I want your heart and your mind on me. That's why he says in Matthew 6, 33, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And then all those things will be added to you. You'll get stuff later. God's going to take care of you. And by the way, that's where that scripture is found, is in the context of God taking care of you. But he says, I'm going to take care of you, but don't worry about you. You focus on me, right? It's all about relationship. That's why the Hebrew writer tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Position, focus, attention. So God desires for us to grow up in our possessions, our pleasures, and our position. I've not told you anything new. I told you this was a simple lesson. But without these things, we cannot continue to grow into who God wants us to be because we're not able to fulfill the most basic fundamentals of our faith. And so the question that you have to ask yourself is this. If you got nothing else, here it is. Are you growing in your faith? You really need to reflect on that. Evaluations are important for businesses, but they're also important for your faith. Stop and think, am I closer to God in my walk today than I was last year? Something should have changed in your faith this year. You should have taken some serious steps and strides towards Christ somewhere. Are you giving more? Are you spending more time with your family? Are you sacrificing more? Are you praying more? What are you doing? In what ways are you growing? Because God wants you to grow. And let me say this. I understand, and that's why I started with it, and I'm going to end with it. Growing can bring about a lot of pain. And some of you really understand that pain right now. There's some of you in here who are broken and you're hurting right now. And my encouragement to you, it's one of those truths that if you come into my office and you're counseling with me, I wouldn't tell you in a one-on-one counseling session because it's not always what you need in the moment. Because when pain is there, it hurts. And you're not looking for advice or something to believe. You're looking for something that's going to relieve the pain. But the truth is that God is working in your pain. And your pain has a purpose. And the pain that you're experiencing now, God is wanting to grow you through that pain. It doesn't mean he's caused the pain, but he wants to grow you in that pain. And so use it for that platform. But some of you, you're broken and hurting this morning. So my encouragement for you is this, as we close. Do what I did as a young boy. It's one of the most cherished memories that I have with my dad, and it can be one of the most cherished memories you have with your father. Call out to him and let him know about your pain. God, I'm hurting. And he'll come in and he'll begin the process of being close with you. And the warmth created through the closeness of the relationship can bring you comfort and healing and give you rest where you might not have had it because of the warmth of the relationship with God. Folks, the lesson's yours. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing?